So welcome, everybody. This is Elaine, and this is the Thursday afternoon, or Thursday 1 p.m. Eastern Time, group coaching for the Parent Success System. And it is Thursday, February 26th, 2015. And today we're going to be talking about motivation. So we're going to start by doing a little check-in and find out what's going on for people and how it's been going since the last call. And then we'll dive into the topic. So just a little check-in with you guys, with you ladies. What's been happening? How's it going?
Well, for us, good news. Somebody got a good report card for first trimester. She got a 3.6. I know she was a little disappointed with her English grade. It was a C+, but then everything else were A's. And granted, she's a senior, and she has some easy classes. You can still screw up the easy classes. So we were very happy and for her.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the positive. And still, you know, struggling with her.
I'm gonna ask you to stop there for a minute and just stick with the positive for a minute, okay? Because you've got a second-term senior who got a 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just awesome. And just allow yourself to just celebrate that for a minute without any other, but here's the problem and there's the problem. Just wow. Can you be with that for a minute?
Yeah.
Are you excited or is it just...
Yeah, no. As soon as we got it, you know, the report in the mail, it was just fantastic. She had a 3.8 going in, and she was concerned about her test. So it's awesome.
Yay. Okay. And Katie, what about you? What do you want to celebrate?
I definitely want to celebrate Lauren's report card since that was mentioned, but she did great. That was in December, though, and she's really doing great now. She doesn't really have a problem with being motivated, you know, going to school or anything like that. She's 12 and a half. She's going to be 13. Our issues are more, you know, social issues and trying to, you know, just do chit-chat and be friends with the other kids in the class. She is, but she just, you know, she tends to be by herself a lot. So, you know, she's doing well, really well, and I think we've made a lot of progress together as a family because the motivation extends to, you know, both of the parents, too. So I've noticed a big difference in my own motivation because Larry's motivation has really kicked up, and I think a lot because we've all done a lot of input. Lauren's taken a social skills class. I've been doing this and then actually downloaded the chapter this week. And then Larry has been doing lots more, you know, for himself. And I think that class, put on your own oxygen mask first, really helped me a lot because I was doing things, you know, for everybody else. And I just stopped and did a bunch of things for myself. So that was good.
So what was the impact when you shifted from doing everything for everyone else to doing something for yourself? What did you notice?
Well, I wasn't, you know, projecting my judgment. I think we talked about that last time, or at least you suggested that, you know, I try and clean up my clutter myself, you know, not to have somebody else do that. So, and not project that onto the rest of the family. So what we did was we did some mind mapping, which was really great and lots of fun. And Lauren loves to do that and just get everything out on paper and then, you know, circle our priorities. And then and the coaching call with you also helped me a lot, too. I haven't been able to get back to coaching scheduling another one, but I will. And the thing is that I guess I'm taking more ownership of my pile of the junk, you know. For lack of a better word.
I was going to say, I love what you're saying, and what does my pile of this junk mean?
Well, my pile of the junk...
Articulate that a little bit better.
My pile of the junk is that you know, I have a real clutter problem, and even though I have lots of ways to, you know, I'm working on lots of ways to get rid of it, or to, you know, to solve the problem, it just seems to be overwhelming, you know. So I try to get more external help. So I've been going to our therapist more, and my pile of the stuff is really the, you know, cleaning out the house, basically, because we moved in a hurry, and I have a tendency to collect a lot of things, and so does my daughter, because she's very artistic, and so she can't part with things. And then, you know, you have a lot of things, and I taught theater art, so I have, like...
Okay, so I'm going to stop you. So what I'm hearing is that part of it is about clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
part of it is about just getting the support for yourself, whether it's your therapist or the private coaching with me, or, you know, just getting that focus on your role and your participation in it.
Right, yeah.
Great.
And trying not to have my, you know, my thing impact everybody else that much more and then blame them for it instead of, I'm trying not to blame myself. Although that's easy
there's
to
a
do.
Difference between well, there's a difference between blaming yourself and taking responsibility for yourself, right? Blaming has this whole connotation about being wrong for something, and when you take responsibility, you're saying I own this, and it's up to me to try to make it better. And when you take responsibility, you're not hitting your head over the stick, hitting yourself over the head with a stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that when you model that for yourself, that's one of the challenges we see with our kids, is that they tend to blame themselves instead of learning to take responsibility for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really subtle distinction, but knowing both of your families, I think that it's a really important one. It's like when we empower them to own and manage something instead of blaming them for doing it wrong, we get a lot more growth from them, and it feels better. It's healthier for our relationships too.
Mm-hmm. And I did have an aha moment, not with my therapist, but a new doctor that we both visited. My husband and I visited as a couple, and that was huge. That was huge because one of the things he said was that since all members of our family have ADHD and it's manifested differently, of course, with each one mm-hmm. of us, that we don't have anybody to compare it to that would be, you know, normal or quote unquote normal, you know, or
typical,
a little
right.
bit less ADHD than we are. So we don't really have a good comparison, you know, and we don't live close enough to family that I don't think that would be a good comparison anyway, because a lot of them haven't admitted it. But and that's one thing that I've accepted too, is that, you know, with my spouse and then with Lauren, it's, you know, I try not to, I guess, get on their case as much, but I'm still doing
mm-hmm.
it.
your awareness to it helps you begin to lessen it, right? And as you say,
yeah.
and when things are better and relationships are better, that success will breed more success, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to
yeah.
check in with you, Patty, sort of based on this conversation with Katie. What's coming up for you? Because you two are actually very, very different, because one of you does have ADD and one of you does not, the two of you on the call. So what's coming up for you as you're hearing this conversation?
That, you know, the other caller is very lucky that you guys are not struggling with motivation. And I wish I could find out how to help my daughter get motivated.
Well, so
it's
a great segue, because today's topic is motivation. So let's move into that and let's talk about that some and then come back to that. Because I'm not sure I would say that it's necessarily that they're not struggling with motivation, but that they're beginning to find ways to motivate.
Okay.
And Katie, would you agree with that?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I would
That's
agree
okay.
with that because, yeah, we do have, some of us have more motivational problems than the others, okay? So I guess we're sort of like in between. I mean, I usually don't have any any motivation problems because I'm really ADHD. I mean, like, you know, I'm never bored, and I have lots of things that I like to do. However, mm-hmm. I've had to find things that motivate my daughter to do certain chores. And then
right.
My spouse, or Larry. Larry, are you on? I don't even know if he's on. I think from time to time, you know, he loses motivation because, like, we're great starters and lousy finishers. So we have
yep.
lots of projects going, but then can't get motivated to continue it or to finish it.
Right. So perfect segue. Let's move into motivation. I do want to acknowledge somebody else has joined us, and who's here from New York? Hi, it's Lori. I'm sorry I'm so late. That's okay. I just want to know who, you know, I just like to know who it is. It's Lori? Lori, yes. And I have a 14-year-old daughter. Great. Okay. So so let's talk about motivation, okay? Because it's really the linchpin of so much about managing ADHD. You know, Diane likes to talk about that what happens with the ADHD brain is that we don't have what you would call a just get it done button, right? Now, some people who are really hyper, sort of like you're describing, Katie, just you have a lot of activation. You can get started at lots of things, right? So where you struggle is to sustain something or to keep on with it until completion. Other people with ADD really struggle to get started with something in the first place. That activation piece is a real challenge. But with all of them, part of what's happening is that we actually don't have the brain chemistry that we need to instigate something and just get started, follow through, and complete it just because we think it's important or we think we should. The brain just doesn't lend itself that way. And so because that sort of natural chemical motivation isn't there, we have to find other ways to motivate ourselves. And I like to say, and I pulled this, I know that Katie, I think you did some training with ADCA, with ADD Coach Academy. I learned from them years ago, David Gorek describes four motivations for people with ADD. I've actually added to it. I think there are five. So there are five things that I like to teach to help people with ADHD find motivation. And those five things are interest, novelty, and y'all can write these down, interest, novelty, urgency, competition, and play or humor or fun. And not everybody is motivated by all five of those things, but all five of those things are opportunities to help people with ADHD find their motivation. And our challenge is actually to find the motivation to do almost anything that we do. So it's not just, it's not enough to say I'm motivated to do well in school, but as with an ADD brain, we have to find the motivation to get started on homework or to turn in an assignment or to, clean up my room or whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. You know, that we're taking aim on or targeting. In order to do that, we have to find the motivation to do each individual thing. And when you don't have ADD, that can seem really exhausting to help your child find all of these unique individual motivations. But the bottom line is if you want them to do something or if they want to do something, they've got to find the motivation to do it. And without it, they don't have that wiring that just says, okay, I'm going to get it done. It's sort of like behind the glass, you know, like you have to break the glass to pull down the fire escape, the fire alarm. It's sort of behind the glass in the ADD brain. So let's break down what these motivators are a little bit more. And again, not everybody's motivated by everything. So some kids are really motivated by competition, some are not. Some may be motivated by some competition, but not others. Oftentimes, if we have kids with processing speed issues, they actually get stressed out by the competitiveness of, let's say, the timed, you know, 1 minute math, we have 1 minute to do as many problems as you can, right? Well, for some kids, they're going to see that as a challenge and they're really going to rise to it, and it's a great motivator. But for other kids, it will actually shut them down. So with competition, you have to be really careful And we want our teachers to be really careful about it in the classroom because it can work both ways. It's not every kid is going to be motivated by it. Interest is when they're compelled by something that they find interesting. The reason kids can stay on video games forever often is because they're interested in it. It's compelling to them. So whatever that is for them, one of my kids is really interested in comics. And so that's a great compelling motivator for him to, you know, you can read the comics after you do X or Y because he really loves comics. Novelty is just when it's new. So one of the reasons that kids tend to do well at the beginning of a school year or the beginning of a new program or anything new class, new teachers, is because it's still interesting and compelling because it's still it's attractive and intriguing. And once it's not new anymore, it becomes boring. And boring is the enemy, the ultimate enemy of the ADD brain, right? I feel like I missed one. I know there's humorous left. There's one more. Interest. Oh, urgency. Okay. Urgency is the one that a lot of us overuse, particularly adults with ADD. I think we overuse this one because we begin to realize that urgency is a strategy. And what that means is that we're actually waiting until the last minute to do something until a different part of our brain takes over. And so we're no longer operating from the frontal lobe or we're thinking and reasoning. We're waiting until it's last minute and then the primitive brain takes over so that we can get something done. Which is fine to do occasionally, but what ends up happening with adults in particular, and I think sometimes with kids as well, if we enter into this constant stress cycle where we're constantly late, we're constantly rushing, we're constantly using urgency as a motivator, and it actually stresses out our bodies. We tend to gain weight, we get less healthy, we have heart issues, we have all of the effects of stress, which is, a killer, particularly in our society, all come from using urgency as a way to motivate. And I know that I've started doing it in college.
Can I ask a quick question about the urgency?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I have a really bad voice today. So,
that's okay.
I've missed a number of calls, I think basically because I have been feeling so down about my daughter. It's really funny. I didn't even look at the topic today. It was like I got a sign from up above that said call. I've been basically told that this is how she operates, urgency, last minute, and, kind of get used to that because no other motivators has helped. But it's true. At the high school level in honors classes, studying for midterms the night before, and then she also has anxiety issues, that's not a life skill. So what do you do when no other motivator really works?
That is such a great
question.
She's
only going with urgency.
That's a great question. So I think part of the process is to begin to help her see that that's the strategy that she's using and that it has been working, and what else is there for her? Right.
That's what I've been told. They're like, what are you complaining about? She's high honor roll. This is working great. Like, but nobody's seeing the 10 hours of crying that comes before this urgency.
Right. Exactly. And so, yes, it works, but at what cost? Right.
And then she doesn't remember all the times she's shot herself in the foot. I feel like it's a never learned lesson because it has repeated itself so many times.
Well,
and I think that's why I
backed
off on the call.
But Laurie, that is one of the hallmarks of ADD, is that these kids, they have a hard time learning from their experience, that they really don't remember it. So you want to help bring it home and bring her awareness to it. Because you got a teenage kid, and so she needs to start recognizing, okay, this is one pattern that she uses. What other opportunities are there for her? Because right now she doesn't know what these other options are. And the message you've been getting is that there are no other ways, right? Urgency is all she's got. Let her use it.
Well, doesn't work well for her because it stresses her out.
Exactly. You know that's not what you want for her. So, in fact, Mark Burton's got a new book coming out on mindfulness and ADHD, which I'm really excited about. I think it'll be out this fall. But there's a lot of other opportunity and consciousness that's beginning to happen around, like, what does it take to really be thoughtful about how do we manage this? And so the first step here is with particularly with a child that age is to help her begin to see what her pattern is so that she can begin to see other options.
Elaine, right. Could I interrupt for a second?
That's
a lovely point of, you know, helping them see what the pattern is. And but at least for me, anything that I say, even if I, you know, sit down and trying to have a very gentle conversation because it's coming from me, she has no interest in hearing it, or, oh, you must be reading about ADD and you know how much I hate it. You know, she just, anything like that, she opposes. So how do you help them see that pattern of whether with the urgency, how it hurts them?
Well, so it's a great question, Patty, and part of the challenge, and there's a big difference between a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, right? So, and, you know, we've talked about this before. If you can catch them before they're 14, you're going to have a huge difference in how you're able to interact with them than when they're after 15 or older, right? They're no longer, as you say, she's not as motivated by what you say. In fact, right now she's in a place where she's going to push back just because you said it, right? So Lori's daughter is a little younger, and so there's a different opportunity there for you. And so you can deal with these kids somewhat differently based on their age. And then Katie's daughter is even a little younger than that. So she's still sort of malleable and more open. So it does get harder as they get older and less open to it. But rather than having it be about the ADD, when you can, the first place is to help them see, just shed the light. Right. So glad that you did well on that test. You did, you know, whatever it was that the stressor was. And I'm really worried that you wore yourself out. You got yourself sick. You didn't get any sleep. You're exhausted. And you may start with questions like, is that what you want? How do you feel about it? So get them to opine and engage with what their experience was like, right? So, Lori, in your example, if you said, what's your biggest concern for your daughter right now?
My biggest concern in this area is that she's seeing, and those around her are seeing, the positive results and the wonderful grades, but this can't be a life pattern. The grades are wonderful, but what it's doing to her emotionally, it can't be a life pattern.
Okay. So you can start by acknowledging and celebrating the success. I think it's really, really great that you're doing so well, and I bet you're really proud of yourself, right? So she is. And so then the next step is to raise the awareness. And I'm a little concerned about how much time or how little sleep or how much stress or, you know, however you want to frame it. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. So you let her engage with it. What was it like for you? Ask her about her experience. How was it? How did you feel about it?
I know it's going to be baby steps, but she does talk the talk. She just doesn't walk the walk, and she had the opportunity even over our vacation last week to take a huge assignment and break it up a little bit every day and with the reminders, but did it to herself again. And I think as a parent, you just become so...
Okay,
I
so
feel hopeless.
So when you say she walks the talk, she talks the talk. So if you have that conversation, you raise the awareness, then what happens?
We have the conversation, and then she just keeps putting it off.
Wait, be more specific. We have what conversation?
We have the conversation about, we're using the 10-hour crying spell as a really good example of waiting till the night before the midterm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a big math assignment to after the break. If you do this many a day, come on, let's sit down. I'll do it later. I don't want to. You're right. I agree with you. It's going to be so much easier if I do it that way. And then it doesn't get done.
Okay. So maybe the next question is, instead of you need to do it this way, what if you shift it to, what's your plan? how are you going to handle this differently? How would you like help creating a plan to do this differently? So that it's no longer about you telling her how she should be doing it, but it's her starting to figure out how she wants to do it differently. Because right now, it's still you telling her you should do it differently. And that's exactly what we mean by helping her find the motivation. So your motivation is this is not a lifetime way of managing this. That is not a good enough motivator for her to change her behavior.
Right.
So what could be a good motivator for her to change her behavior? And that's really got to come from her, not from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you really want to do it? What's your daughter's name?
Allie.
All right. Do you really want this to be different? And she may say yes. She may say no, not really. Well, if she says no, not really, then that may not be the place to focus on teaching her to use motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But if she said, yeah, I really don't want to do that again. So then that's her wanting something different instead of you wanting something different for her. Do you see that subtle distinction?
Elaine, I kind of experienced what you were just talking about, and my daughter came up with a plan of her own, color-coordinated of a weekly plan for working out and getting in shape for college, and because she's a student athlete.
Yeah, I got it.
It all lasted about 1 week. And, you know, she came up with it. We didn't tell her to do it. And then, so it's just all a bunch of hogwash. So how do you...
Well, so here's the piece. Rather than seeing it as hogwash, so she did the first step. She got the plan. Now activating to get the plan done and sustaining it is hard. So that's the next step. So great, you got a plan. Okay, so the next question is, how do you get her motivated to actually want to engage with her plan? Like, what is it about it that she wants? How is she putting systems in place to hold herself accountable or motivate herself? So it may be, you know, sometimes they give themselves rewards. Sometimes it's about, it's after this, I get to go hang out with those friends. I get to go out for coffee because, you know, I know Nikki's really socially motivated. Like, maybe it's about she needs the social connection, so she may want to motivate herself by making it interesting by having a friend do it with her. Like, so for each step of that color-coded plan, she needs a motivation to get it done. Some way to engage herself.
Where do you find that? I just
hold that for a minute. Katie, go ahead.
No, I'm just we're talking about the same thing. I know my daughter's a little bit younger, but we actually have done the same thing and experienced a little bit of success, you know. But it boils down to like this next step that is it Pat or I'm sorry, your first name again? I didn't get.
Yeah, Patty. Patty was saying.
Okay, that for each step. So like you're saying, for each step, then I started to have to take away things, which I didn't want to, but, you know, it boiled down to, like, I gave her, with us, it's time management, okay? So I gave her the opportunity to plan her time after school from 3:30 to 9:30, a couple days. And she always did her fun things first, which is crafts. And then I said, well, see what happened, you know? Here you are at the last minute doing, you know, your homework. So that doesn't work. Okay, so back up. And then I had to do it again, but then I had to take the crafts away or I had to take the tickets away. She gets allowance and I had to take away a couple dollars or something like that, you know, rip them up right in front of her. I've even thrown stuff out. I've just taken stuff out in the garbage and said, you know.
So wait, Katie, let me stop you for a minute. So let's shift that a little bit, okay? And she's a little younger, so it's a little different. But
I was kind of, how old is she?
She's 12.
She's going to be 13.
Okay. Right. So instead of taking it away, this is an opportunity to sit down and say, okay, we tried this. Let's look at what worked. Let's work at what didn't work. How do you think we could shift this to make it work better? Because my goal here would be, for example, in this example, Katie, for her to be the one to say, maybe I should do my crafts after. instead of for you to be the one saying, it didn't work, now you got to do your craft faster, right? We want her to learn what it takes to motivate herself. So, and for all of your kids, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, different application at different ages. But if we look at it and say, okay, this is what works. This is great. Like, for example, Patty's daughter, you set up a plan, right? And you did a color-coded, very thorough plan. That's awesome. And for Lori's daughter, you did really, really well on that test. You're really smart and you really mastered the material, right? So that's what worked. What didn't work? Then let them answer it. Don't answer it for them at first, right? What was hard about it? What was challenging about it? So Lori, your daughter is going to come up with, well, I did cry for 10 hours, right? Right? Or Patty, your daughter, is going to come up with, well, you know, I didn't actually follow through on my plan. Or even Katie, your daughter, will probably come up with, well, you know, when I put the crafts at the end, I actually didn't get, at the beginning, I actually didn't get the rest of it done, right? If they are the ones that recognize it, then you can ask, okay, so what should we shift or change? So in all of these circumstances, these kids have a plan. Now we have to help them learn how to tweak and change and modify a plan to make it work for them. So it's not throw it out, it didn't work, but, well, let's see what part of it did work, what part of it didn't work, and how do you want to change it? And how can I help you? So that you're putting it back on them. It's still their job to do it and your job to support them instead of your job to tell them what to do. And that's the biggest shift here, is I want it to shift from telling them what to do to helping them figure out that it's their job to do it and that they need motivation to get themselves to do it. And that the things that might motivate them are interest and humor and competition. Like, some kids like to compete with themselves or compete with others, or, you know, let's see how quick we can get it done. Or, you know, for each of them, it's going to be different, right? Like, and again, I go back to Patty. We know that Dominique is motivated by social, right? So how can she use that to help her accomplish something else she really wants to accomplish? Instead of just saying, well, you set up a plan, but it's smoke and mirrors, it didn't work, so you failed. Because if she set up the plan, that there's some intention there. She's trying. Go ahead.
Not really. Can I just ask a question? In your daughter's school, do you have a teacher, a guidance counselor, or anybody she's particularly close with? Because we found something very successful this year. I knew what would work
for my daughter in certain areas. But again, because she's a teenager, it could not come from me. I was relaying some things to the social worker in the school, who's young and perky, and my daughter, of course, loves her. And she was making suggestions to my daughter. And they were much better received that way and implemented.
Mm-hmm. That works for me, too. That works all the time for me.
Yeah, sometimes just having somebody else involved really, really makes a huge difference. But the goal here, whether it's your daughter, whether it's the social worker suggesting it or you or whatever, the goal here long term is to teach these kids to understand that they need motivation to do things. That it's not that they're not doing it because they're failures. It's that they're not doing it because it's really hard for them and they've got to have a reason to do it. I mean, Diane read a blog years ago that was so cute about her son was having a hard time getting something done on his homework, and she said, well, what do you need? And he said, I need a motivator. I'm going to get a bowl of ice cream when I finish this. And we don't want every motivator to be a bowl of ice cream, but, you know, for a 12-year-old kid, that may not be inappropriate, you know? Sometimes my kids used to put a gummy bear at the end of every page. Actually, they liked it at the end of every paragraph. We negotiated to the end of every page. You know, in a textbook, because reading textbooks is really hard and really boring. Right?
You know, that works for adults too, though, Elaine, don't you think?
Because
I mean, I know that, you know, I'll do my bookkeeping if I know that I'm going to get a half an hour off, or I'm going to take a walk, or I'm going to do something for myself afterwards, you know? I do that
Absolutely.
All the time because I can't stand, you know, because I mean, housework is boring, let's face it, but you got to do it,
that's
you know?
Right.
So, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, what can I do after this? You know, it's like playing a lottery ticket or getting an instant, what do you call those? I don't know, scratch off. Go get a scratch off,
right.
You know, if, you know, whatever. But I do that all the time for myself.
Exactly. And that's a perfect example, Katie, because that's what we're trying to do here, is to recognize that you need motivators with an ADD brain for just the simplest little thing. And so we need to recognize that they need a motivation for how we work with them. And then we want to begin to help them recognize, oh, I need a motivator to do this. Oh, I don't have a just get it done button. I've got to come up with a reason or a way to get myself to do anything that I don't want to do. And the way to do that is to look at how do I get myself to do the things I do want to do. I'm not saying that this is easy and it's going to just shift 1,000% over the next week, right? Because it's definitely a shift in mindset for us and for them. And they don't want to have to. Even just coming up with a motivator is a pain in the neck for these kids. My 13-year-old son, he's still resisting this a lot. Because he would rather just say, I can do it. I got it. Right? And so part of it is that they learn more slowly. And so there's a patience factor to just focusing on one thing and letting them really see the success in that one thing. But we want to just keep making sure that it's about them making their choices, not us telling them what to do. And, you know, and particularly because as they get older, I mean, Patty, you know this, your daughter's almost 18. And there's a point where she's going to be making her own choices very, very soon. And so what we want to do is inspire them and teach them how to make good choices for themselves instead of telling them what choices they should be making and then getting disappointed when they don't, which is our tendency, as all of us.
So, Eva, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question? Okay, you use the word inspire. That's a great word because we want to inspire them. Okay, so can you give me an example of what our verbiage would be, you know, these three mothers here? What would the verbiage be? You know, to like inspire them to, how would I start a conversation like that versus, you know, the other thing, you know, it's going to sound like I'm telling them what to do.
Right. So, well, part of that, it's a great question. I want to sort of open it up and see what comes up for other people actually before I answer it. When she asks that question, Lori or Patty, what comes up for you?
Well, with me, with the oldest kid, she really has no interest in much that I have to say. So I just don't say much back.
Yeah.
Because
so what does she want? Like you're talking about this exercise, right? That's the big issue for you. So what does she really want? What's the big picture vision for her?
She keeps talking about how she's going to be ripped by the time she gets to school.
Awesome.
At the end of June.
So she wants to be ripped. She wants to look fabulous. She wants a hard body. She wants six-pack abs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's her inspiration. That's what she's looking for. So instead of focusing on the structure of it, you want to keep tying her into her goal, her vision. She wants to rock. She wants to just look like an amazing hard body. There's no athlete wants anything more than six-pack abs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you can help her find her vision, and not with the, if you don't do this, then you won't have that, because that's just, you know, that just makes her feel bad. But
so with that, for example, last night, Elaine, for example, last night, I woke up because I felt noise around the house, and it was 1:15 in the morning. She had gotten up to make herself food, and we have a rule that she constantly breaks about not eating after 8 p.m. So she's making herself food, And then I go to her room and brings the food to her room, which is, again, another rule that we have. You cannot be eating in the room. And then I said, Dominique, what's up? Are you okay? And she says, well, I woke up hungry. And then I said, why is your laptop on? Oh, I'm doing homework. She was watching a movie. So it's like bing, 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 three lies: the eating, the laptop with the movie. So then I take the laptop away, and she gets so upset with me. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, we have some rules in place to help her with the weight and with good eating habits, and she just breaks them. And who knows? It could have happened maybe another night. I'd be in here, you know, late at night.
So, and, you know, as I hear that, there's a lot of pieces happening at one time. And as I say, you know, and I said to you when we first started together, it is way more complicated with a 17-year-old than it is with a 12 or 14-year-old. Because you've got all of these patterns in place that you have to undo before you can put new patterns in place. It's hard, right? But you have to focus on one at a time. So the laptop issue, if that's a concern, that's sort of an easy one because there's a structure to it. What's the expectation? If it's not allowed on after X time, or the internet's not allowed to be used after X time, where is it plugged in? Is it in her room? Let's plug it in someplace else so that that's no longer a temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to have the conversation. If you walk in and it's there, go ahead and go plug it in because that's where it belongs.
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes I fall asleep before 11, and that's when there is no electronics after 11. So she can abuse it.
That you may want to get a clear expectation of what's the accountability. If that gets fractured, if that rule gets broken and that's important for you to focus on, then, you know, like my son, if he doesn't plug in his phone downstairs at night, he doesn't get it the next day. He doesn't have access to it, period. And it's not me enforcing the rule. That's just the rule.
Yeah.
So then he has to give me the phone and, you know.
Yeah,
but part of the piece here is you've got a lot of rules with an older kid who's not bought into them. So these are your rules for a kid who knows she's about to be able to be making all these choices for herself. So the challenge is to begin to get her to be making choices because it's what she wants for herself, not because you want her to. And I agree with you, it's hard, hard, harder for a 17-year-old than it is for a 12-year-old. And for those of you with younger kids on the call, you sort of see where it's heading if you don't begin to shift the mantle to them. Right? It's very hard to get them, because it becomes an us, me versus you, instead of what we're looking for, which is, this is your job to manage your stress, to manage your schoolwork, to manage your exercise, and it's my job to help you come up with good ways to do that and to be successful with that. So, Lori, your daughter's job is clearly, it's a value for her to do well in school, and you want to really celebrate that. And I have a daughter, one of my kids is a sort of high-achieving student like that. And it's my job as her parent to make sure she gets enough sleep, to make sure she's managing her stress. So there are times where I'll come in and say, okay, you're done. Sorry, you've got to get some sleep. It's more important than staying up any later. You've got to go to bed. And so, you know, and she's part of that decision. And then we'll sort of talk through, like, so what time do you need to wake up to be able to get back to it or whatever. But she's learned to manage her work because she's had me constantly saying, you know, yes, it's important. Schoolwork is important, and so is your sleep. And so is keeping you stressed, not so stressed out. And so
I might need some private coaching about is the fact that up until probably last year, she didn't have to work for it. And she's still struggling with the fact that she has to work for it.
Yeah.
And that makes her, that's her internal struggle. And I feel badly for her. She's fortunate that she didn't have to work for it until now.
Yeah.
And that's something
that
I'm going to need to help her with.
Yeah.
You know, again, probably with some one-on-one coaching because
it's time
to learn how to work now.
You know, I'm more than happy to do that with you, and I totally get it because I've got, in fact, my son is almost 14. I was just saying to him the other day, you know, you're riding this year, but it's going to get a lot harder next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going into high school next year, and so we're starting to sort of set the expectation for him that it's going to be harder and that, you know, you're enjoying your eighth grade year now, but you know, next year you're going to need more structure. And so I'm sort of setting the tone now for him to begin to prepare for it for next year because I totally understand what you're saying. It is going to be
And quite frankly, I'm exhausted by it.
Yeah.
And
so,
I know
and
the self-care
so
unit.
Here is to find what it is that she wants and that you want, right? Because the bottom line is nobody wants to be the family dynamic to be the stress. She doesn't want it. So what does she want? And that's where we tie back into the motivation, right? What does she want? What's important to her? Yes, school is important to her. What else is important to her? Right? And what's the cost so that you can begin to help her be asking for the support instead mm-hmm. of resisting it? Because right now, what you described was a structure where you come up with a plan and then she says, yeah, but I don't want it. So that's because it's still sort of, she still sees it as your plan. So what
she
would make it
her
plan, right? What would make it her plan? And it's about finding the motivations for each step of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But finding her motivation, not yours. And I think this is a big piece for a lot of us as parents is that we want them to be motivated by what motivates us. Right? We want them to be motivated by doing the right thing. We want them to be motivated by completing something, checking off a list. You know, we want them to be motivated by all these very grown-up concepts. And they're not. So, you know, if the motivation is I get to go out with my friends on Saturday night, so be it.
It used to be, I found that I don't know what the current motivator is, and I think I'm going to keep a closer eye on that because right now it's just been about the phone, and I don't want to go back to the place where it used to be taking everything away because that
yeah.
didn't work. She became more and more resentful and finally said, I don't care, I take it all.
Exactly, because it's a control issue. And the heart of this, we want to transfer the control from us to them, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is all about control. And what happens is we've gotten in the habit of being the one in control. And because we're really attached to the outcome. We're really attached to what the results are. But the truth is, by all of your kids are old enough, even Katie, your daughter, is getting to that point where they're the ones that are going to be making these choices for themselves in their lives. It's not us. And they're not going to be making the choices just the way we would want them to, by the way. Right? Especially
Yeah, I have said that recently. I have, you know what, that's fine if you want to do it that way, but I don't agree with your choice, but if that's what you want to do, fine. You know, and let her see what happens.
Right.
I've decided I'm not fighting a lot of battles anymore because I'm just too tired.
That's why. And here's what I would offer to you on top of that is, okay, you want to try it that way? That's great. Try it and let's see what happens. Don't even add the part that I don't agree with you. I don't think it's a good idea. Like, just keep that out for now. Just
mm-hmm.
say, cool, try it. Can we check back in a couple of days and see how it worked?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that, this is the piece where you're sort of becoming their coach, is it's really encouraging them to try something and then to analyze it without blaming themselves and modify it, tweak it. We want them to come up with systems and then see what part works and see what part doesn't work and then tweak it and change it and try it again instead of coming up with a system and saying, well, that didn't work, and then throwing the whole thing out. Because that's where we all do that?
right? We start off at the beginning of the year. We're going to exercise. We're going to eat healthy, whatever. And then by February, we've given it up because we didn't do everything we said we were going to do. But if we can learn to what I call fail forward, right? To look at what did work, look at what didn't work, and to tweak it, to modify it, and teach them to look at what worked and what didn't work and tweak it, then they can really learn step by step to be successful and to figure out what does work for them. And we got to all know it's not going to be 100%. It's not going to be all successful. There's going to be three steps forward and two steps backward and all of that normal life stuff. So let's take a minute before we close. I want everybody to stop and look at the final four. What do you feel like you focused on in this conversation today? And what's your clarity? So before we move into action, let's just take a minute to just sort of regroup and think about where was your head today? What was your focus? Well, what are you getting some clarity on?
Okay, well, I'll go ahead. It's Katie. I think I focused on listening because, you know, as a word, motivation, it's not a bad word for me, but it might be a bad word for, you know, the rest of my family. And I really tried to listen to say, you know, where I can step back and see what is motivation for the other people in my family, you know, and, you know, how can I, like, mostly observe, you know, I really need to step back and just observe for a while and see, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what motivates them so that I can, I guess I could start a conversation, you know, because
yeah.
we still have good communication. And like you said, some things work and some things don't. So
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
I just need to, you know, let out some more rope and just see, you know, where they go.
Great. I love that. And what I love is that you're starting to look at what works for them. And then the next step will be to ask, help them begin to identify what works for them, what their motivators are. But I like that you're taking the time to stop and look at it yourself and see if you can notice so you can help them begin to see it as well. Who else?
Well, for me, it was a nice opportunity to review and revisit the concepts of the five motivators to try and understand, you know, what motivates a kid with ADD. However, with clarity, I feel like I didn't get anywhere just because I honestly do not know how to help Dominique. Just because she has no interest in listening, or, you know, honey, could I give you a ride to, you know, to the gym? No, everything is no. So, could I sign you up for the tournament? No. Do you need help? No. So I don't know what to do, honestly.
So I hear that you don't have action steps, but I guess what I want to leave you with as a question is you're clear on what your motivations are for her success. What would it take to help her or for you to get clear on what her motivations are? And you don't have to answer that now, but I want you to just sort of ponder that a little bit. What are her motivations?
That has, for me, that's a million-dollar question.
Yep.
Such as
well, and I like what Katie said was to just sort of observe a little bit and look and watch and see what are the things that motivate, and see if you and Mike can think together about what are the things that you see motivates her, and then begin to help raise her awareness to it as well.
Oh, I know what motivates her. That I know. You know, is.
Well,
there's her boyfriend in college, and watch.
I want to stop you and ask you not to answer it right this minute, but to really just ponder it a little bit. What else are motivators? Because this is a kid who just got a 3.6 in senior year. Clearly, she's motivated by more than the boyfriend in college.
So what else is there? And just look for that, okay?
Okay.
So that's Laurie. What about you?
It's going to be observing.
I'm sorry, you broke up. I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. It's definitely going to be observing for different motivators and putting it back in her court.
Okay. So really sort of try to put it back in her play and beginning to help her see.
And I think I have to change my own motivation as well.
Say a little bit more about that.
My motivation needs to be more focused on her independence.
Awesome. There's a shift.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's possible when you shift your focus there?
Well, my motivation really is I don't want to be exhausted anymore.
It's yeah.
Taking a toll. It's taking its toll on me.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The truth is, when mom's exhausted, nobody's happy.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so when you get clear that your motivation, you've got to find some peace with this, then you begin to be able to shift things to her in a whole different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any other action that anybody wants to commit to today? So what action steps do you want to take and what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I'm just going to say, it's Kate again, I'm just going to say my action step because I've learned time and time again this is what works for me. Okay, so when I get overwhelmed or I feel like I'm, you know, I realize I'm the control freak here, I realize that I haven't been doing what I learned a long time ago, which is to take pauses, you know, and to take frequent pauses during the day. So I've set myself up to do like meditation. I have meditation that I learned a long time ago, and if I do it in 12-minute intervals, it's amazing what happens. But I'm only doing it, you know, once a day and not very often, so I need to do it every day and maybe two or three times a day and give myself timely breaks so that I do not get overwhelmed.
So what I'm hearing you say is that your commitment is to the self-care and the motivation and the meditation.
Mm-hmm. More meditation, for sure.
More meditation, great.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
I guess my action plan is to ask you if you would do a one-on-one with Dominique.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about that. It's an interesting request. And as you all know, usually we don't work with the students. We work with the parents. But, you know, Patty and I have worked together for a long time. So I'm absolutely willing to talk about that with you. And
it's interesting that she just said that because it's exactly what I was thinking in my mind. I know that my daughter likes to feel that independence and being proactive. And it's been very difficult finding anyone in our area or anywhere that has this mindset other than back off, let them, you know, when they
mm-hmm.
fail, they'll, and to really go with what we're learning here.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, it's interesting, Laurie, because one of the things you said a little while ago is that you might want to get some coaching around this. And so let's stay on
yeah.
the call and talk for a couple of minutes because I definitely think, you know, you and Patty are in very different circumstances. You're sort of at the beginning of high school and she's at
yeah.
the end. So let's talk about how we might help you set it up because your daughter actually probably is a great candidate for ADHD coaching with not too much preparation to help her get there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Whereas Nikki is in a different place and is not as good a candidate because she's still busy battling it out with her mom. You know, which is, Patty, it's so hard, I know, but that's the nature of the 17-year-old girl and her.
Oh, I'm counting the days.
I know. We're trying to
help. You should look for the clip that Rosie O'Donnell had on a show a long time ago about the
what they give you when they're 17 is so you're ready to kick them out of the nest and off to school or wherever they go.
It's so
rather
true.
Than cry at the door.
It's so true. All right, ladies, I'm going to call it for today and say thank you all for being here, for your commitment to yourselves and to each other and to your families. And I know that there are ways in which, Patty, it's so frustrating for you, and I just want to acknowledge that. I know it's so hard. And I hear some of the other moms on the call being sort of learning from that and seeing a different opportunity for how to be with their younger kids. Which is the beauty of this environment. So thanks all to everyone for really sharing yourselves and bringing so much transparency to these calls. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, too.
And Lori, will you hang out for just a second? I'm going to turn off the recording.
Yeah.
Okay, stay on.
Okay.